From the Omaha Bugle Global News Headquarters, this is the Global News Network with Senior Correspondent Jeff Weaver and Senior Correspondent Adam von Roemer.
Mr. Weaver, we find ourselves once again back at the news desk of the Omaha Bugle's Global News Network, and I know you have at least one or two thoughts up your sleeve that you'd like to talk about today. So how about if I allow you the honor of leading off, and I'll just chime in as needed.
Well, thank you, Adam. Yeah, there are a few things that are in the news that are a little disturbing, at the very least, if you value sort of the traditional way life has been in the United States. As you know, Adam, one of the fundamental tenets of this country has been the idea that you have property rights, and that if you are deprived of property rights, such as city takes away some type of property, you're entitled to just compensation under the Constitution. There are people who do not really seem to value the idea of property rights, and what I'm referring to is these laws that have arisen on the West Coast, naturally, California and now Oregon, and they're born of a misguided compassion. And more specifically, what they are is essentially laws that if you as a homeowner have a sidewalk, for example, in front of your house, and the sidewalk's not your private property, but it's obviously right in front of your house and adjacent to your yard, or if you're you live next to a public park or some publicly owned land, and some homeless person sets up a tent there, or multiple people set up tents all along the sidewalk in front of your house, what this proposed law in Oregon is suggesting is that if you are trying to get them out of there while, quote, harassing them, which of course is a very open-ended and subjective term, you can be sued by a said homeless person who I'm not aware of has any right to occupy the public space any more than anybody else does, and fined $1,000.
Hold on one damn minute, because that, my friend, stretches credulity. So let me see if I understand this correctly. Oregon, or somewhere, is thinking about legislating the ability for a homeless person to camp out. And again, let's make it abundantly clear that you and I have nothing against homeless people. In fact, we think it's a pressing problem. And we're certainly not, how would one put it, denigrating or any way minimizing the plight of these people. But, so they're basically attempting to legislate a homeless person's right to basically use your private property for essentially a public good without compensation. Now, I don't even care about the compensation part of it. I'm talking about, what about the God-given right to quiet enjoyment? That thing that gives real estate its value, where you can exclude people from the property because it's yours? Now we're talking about not having...
Yeah, it looks like this law is being drafted so that it's, quote, public property, but of course the sidewalk in front of your house may be, quote, public property. And apparently there have been instances where people have set up in neighborhoods, tents, whatever, and obviously the inhabitants of those neighborhoods, the residents of those neighborhoods, are not particularly happy about that. Unfortunately, there is drug use in some cases. There's obviously hygiene issues associated with the whole matter. And like you said, it's not like we're not sympathetic to the situation, but what seems to be driving a lot of what I guess I would call these social justice warriors in this case is sort of the idea that everybody who's down on their luck has the right to basically impede upon the rights of those individuals who, either through accident of birth or hard work or whatever, are not so down on their luck. That is, the homeowners who live next to the park that has a bunch of tents in it, or encampments, or the sidewalk that may have a tent pitched on it. And it's sort of a total twisting of the idea of property rights where, that person who is the owner is essentially being, I'm not sure what the word would be, but their property rights are being impaired. As you say, they're not able to have quiet enjoyment of their property because you may have a whole bunch of people camping next door to you who unfortunately may have drug issues or any number of other things going on that you really don't want your children subject to.
Well, you know what? In the interest of full disclosure, when you shot me that email about the process, I thought, I got to go check that out. I got to see if there's really, you know, an agenda, if somebody's really pushing this agenda. And the first article I encountered was an article about a guy, I want to say he was in LA maybe. And again, I'm not, like I said, I'm not holding myself out as an expert on this. But according to what I read, the gentleman tried to pay the people to move from in front of his business and they wouldn't. Then he called the police, who basically refused to do anything about it. And now the situation has gotten so dire that people have to step over hypodermic needles, broken glass, and for lack of a better term, fecal matter to get into his place of business. And somehow this is okay.
Well, again, that's the whole problem, is that you just see an inversion of what's right and what's wrong. And again, if you're social justice or you fancy yourself to be a virtuous person and you look at this as sort of you're taking up the cause of a group that unfortunately is down on their luck, to say the least, and often may engage in destructive habits such as drug use and so forth, maybe you feel better about yourself. But my guess is that these people do not have this situation going on in their own neighborhoods. It's always great when you can be a social justice warrior in somebody else's neighborhood.
We found that out with the relocation of all those people. Where did they fly them? Up to Concord or somewhere?
And that lasted,
what, 24 hours maybe?
I think, as I recall, Adam, I think that they had moved them to a nearby military base or something. And,
they weren't even on the ground 24 hours. Yeah, that was my recollection. They landed, they were greeted, they were loaded up, and they were trucked off somewhere.
Well, you know, you definitely don't want people like that wandering around Millionaire's Row in Martha's Vineyard scaring the tourists.
I would think that the social justice warriors that we're talking about here would have had, or would hope to have, enough sense to look, and maybe I'm just being misguided and hopeful, but you know, to look beyond or behind that headline. Because if you've got conditions, and from what I read in one of the other articles, I mean, literally just keeping the area clean is nearly impossible. It sounds to me as though that would create conditions. And again, I'm not an epidemiologist. You know, I don't even put it on TV. But I got to believe that if you have, you know, essentially open sewers, there's some health issues there above and beyond the life safety concerns that it's creating, you know? And
what strikes me as rather ironic is we've just gone through this COVID pandemic that's killed millions of people around the world, and you would think everybody would have a heightened sensitivity to potential health risks. And like you say, sort of the open sewers situation that is now pervasive in a number of these cities where they, for whatever motivations, have essentially empowered or permitted people to just sit there wherever they want in public places, in front of businesses, without consequence. I would have thought people, just in view of having been sensitized by the risk of catching COVID, would have been much more up in arms about this. I don't mean just the people who are up in arms about it, but I mean a lot of the people who are enabling this,
yeah,
which includes a lot of these city councils or state legislators that are voting to go along with this. Because you're right. I mean, you could certainly have a lot of diseases transmitted when you've got fecal matter and all over the place.
Well, yeah, and if you're picking up hypodermic needles on a daily basis, you know, used hypodermic needles, I don't imagine they're dropping clean, brand new ones, you know, all over the sidewalk. And again, everybody needs to understand we're not minimizing or any way making light of the fact that some people have chemical dependency issues, some people have mental health concerns, and, you know, certainly those need to be addressed. I mean, that's one of the gigantic holes in our social safety net. You know, we're completely missing a bunch of people. That's fodder for another day. But back to our topic. I mean, okay, so you got all this going on. I read part of the article where it said that they were going to even go as far as allowing lawsuits based on this harassment. And that was an air quote. So,
well, and yeah, what is harassment? Your definition of harassment is probably going to be different from other people's definition of harassment, but it's another example of wanting to take the side of a perceived set of victims. In a sense, you know, maybe they are victims, but I don't think the fact that one might be in an unfortunate situation, do you want to then empower them to infringe upon the rights of everybody else, particularly since those other people are the taxpayers who are funding the whole ship of state, as it were?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's certainly a valid point. I mean, okay, let me see if I understand this. You're going to use my tax dollars to support this. Anyhow, you're going to use my tax dollars to fund this initiative. And then when somebody squats essentially in front of my business or my home and I ask them to leave, then I'm going to have to defend myself against a lawsuit for harassing the people that are literally sitting in front of my business or place of business or home, causing me potentially loss of business and, you know, other issues. And then I'm going to get sued for that and potentially fined.
That about sums it up, Adam. You know, the interesting thing is, what some of these creators have pointed out is that this just seems to be the latest in a series of increasingly, shall we say, unfortunate decisions or misguided decisions from states that are essentially driving their populations out. You know, California, of course, has been losing its population for years as people leave it for what they perceive to be greener pastures in Texas or Florida or Colorado or wherever.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like they're doubling down on the things that are just absolutely destroying the quality of life in these few states. I mean, I think Oregon and California are unfortunately kind of at the forefront of this sort of self-destructive public policy making, which, you know, it's almost like, who can we help lift up in some way by entitling them to some preferential benefit against the rest of the population? Today it's the homeless, you know, tomorrow maybe people are in the country illegally, you know, who knows?
Well, we, yeah, as you say, we certainly know how a great deal of that's played out over the last couple of years. And, you know, it's fascinating to me how it's one of those, what they used to call NIMBY, you know, not in my backyard. Well, as long as it's going on in somebody else's yard or on somebody else's property, it seems to me that there's sort of a double standard, you know? And then when it comes to, well, here you go, folks, this is the policy you enacted, here they are, like off they go. And I don't understand how anybody could think, other than in the very short term, that this would be a good policy. I mean, the problem exists and the problem needs to be addressed. But the way to address the problem is not to strip away the property rights of the people who effectively, you know, work, you know, blood, sweat, tears went into the property. And now they've got, and I mean, I saw some of those pictures. They've got like just piles and piles of garbage just sitting there. I mean, it's like, really? Then how is this helping anybody? It's not helping the people that are homeless, certainly. And that's been evidenced over and over again by all the multi, you know, faceted and failed policies at correcting the problem. I mean, you got to understand, there are some people that just don't want to have a home. I know that might seem, you know, strange to you or I, but, you know, I had a little while ago, I actually had a guy who was living for quite some time in the shrubbery in front of a shopping center that I had taken over. And he was quite happy to live in the shrubbery. Yeah, you know, however, the local police were not happy with him living in the shrubbery, and they had to remove him. And they've removed him a couple of times, and he just keeps coming back. They took him to a veteran's facility, because he's a veteran. A couple days later, he, you know, he basically walked out and moved right back into the shrubbery. And, you know, and I get that. There are certain people, like I said, who have, you know, some mental health issues that may be triggering this. But to put that burden on the shoulders of people who, A, did not create the problem, and B, certainly are not looking to perpetuate it, seems to me to be a little bit out of, let's say, alignment, if you will, with what should happen.
Well,
you know, again, we got to stress that we're not down on homeless people, because, you know, we'll get hate mail over that.
Well, I think that it gets down to the fact that you have public officials who really are just saying, we don't know what to do, so let's just kind of allow them their space, and we'll leave them alone and kind of turn a blind eye to it. And
oh, that always works.
Well, no, I know, that's the whole thing. It just strikes me it's more of a benign neglect idea. And if they are victims, if the homeless people are victims, they're really victims of the decision makers who, you know, have allowed this situation to manifest to this point where so many people are living on the streets, you know, and in filth. And you know, you can ask yourself, okay, if in a city like San Francisco, which has a multi-billion dollar budget, why is it that there's not facilities created where people can have a nice cot and, you know, there's adequate security there and they can shower and be provided some clothing? It just strikes me that example of, you know, your tax dollars not at work. They disappear into the rat hole, but unfortunately, we don't all have the state for being used. So it just seems
no output.
Well, you know, you have, take San Francisco, you know, you have the city council, and there's this desire to appear, again, socially virtuous, and the amount of money involved doesn't seem to matter so much. It's the appearance of it. Whether you ever solve the problem, which obviously isn't happening here, that's really secondary. It's just the look, you know, the appearance over the substance. And it's just disturbing that there just seems to be this abdication of anybody taking responsibility for this. Because it seems to me you could almost have people in barracks. You know, there may be some people are so strung out on drugs you can't let them mix with everybody else. But, you know, there are a lot of people just down on their luck and don't have a support system. And why isn't there some empty buildings that have been, you know, sparse buildings, but they have AC and bunk beds or whatever, clean sheets? You know, why not start with something constructive like that instead of just acting like you can't do anything about it? It's not really what you elect public officials.
Well, you know what, Lord? Yeah, I'm 100% convinced that there are, in fact, vacant buildings out there because of what, you know, I've been reading in the papers and, you know, in the trade magazines and everything. But the notion that, for example, think about somebody camped out on the sidewalk in front of your law office and you having somebody come to your office to meet you about a specific piece of business. Or, you know, better yet, I've got somebody that's going to the, you know, the 1800 building and is, yeah, for lack of maybe sleeping in the shrub or two. You know, what about the other safety concerns that that creates for, you know, example, again, not casting aspersions here, but there seems to be a relationship between homelessness and crime. Well, don't the citizens of that particular municipality have the right to, you know, basically live in a peaceful and tranquil existence?
You got to remember
that part of that process.
Yeah, but Adam, you got to remember these are the very same states where the defund the police thing was such a big banner that was being pushed by so many individuals, town councils, and so forth. And of course, what happened, which, you know, you'd hear stories about, would be a town council member gets robbed or whatever, and suddenly they're far less interested in disarming the police department, or they hire their own security.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always an alternative available to everybody else. So, you know, I think you're right. I think it's the NIMBY theory playing itself out, but not in my backyard. As long as I don't see the manifestations, I can feel good about myself. I'm standing up for the rights of the homeless who are society's downtrodden. And fortunately, I don't have to bear the consequences of it.
Yeah.
But see what happens when a few tents get set up in front of one or more of the council members' houses.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'm quite the same.
I bet that gets cleared quite quickly.
And then TV camera.
Yeah. What, can you see somebody, you know, camped out in front of, is it the governor's mansion with the Gavin Newsom in there, you know?
Oh, I think, I could be pretty...
Yeah, you don't think he'll use that as a photo opportunity? Go out there and, yeah, shake hands and...
I think ultimately, Adam, it's just another failing of the public administrators.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of minimizing this a little bit, but I don't think it's a question of money either. I think that, you know, I just paid my tax bill this year, so I know that Broward County has tons of money, and at least they got tons of my money. And, you know, every time I see that, it reminds me of remember how they sold the lottery idea in Florida? That, you know, it was going to raise billions of dollars for education. And somehow we managed to have still one of the worst rated school systems in the country. And I asked myself, how did that happen?
Well, I think the story that I believe you and I have been told is that those monies were raised, they went to education, and then the appropriations got reduced accordingly in the general budget for education. So it just didn't really...
Well, there wasn't a whole lot of trickle down, huh? It trickled out.
And trickled to some bank accounts, perhaps. I'm not really sure. But you know, Adam, I told me you have big government, you have big money, and it's a matter of priorities. Yeah, San Francisco is a beautiful city, but, you know, it's really gotten quite unpleasant in various areas due to the epidemic of homelessness and drug use on the street. You know, San Franciscans in general, I think, are a pretty tolerant group of people, but I think even most of them have had enough. The question is, you know, why do their duly elected public officials, you know, not respond more? And, you know, in some sense, they kind of need to view this as needing to save lives of people who are living in desperate situations. In the 60s, people used to get carted off to asylums and hospitals and stuff, and they kind of emptied them out, I guess, in the 70s or whatever. You know, the idea, get them out of the institutions because they weren't getting any better. But I don't think leaving people on the street to fend for themselves, particularly if they're mentally imbalanced or, you know, on drugs or whatever, whatever is really doing them any favors, or, you know, the public at large, particularly those who become victims of assault or murder, whatever.
It just those minor things.
Well, yeah, it just seems to me that, you know, I think in past times there may have been a more optimistic attitude in the sector of public governance where, you know, people, I mean, there's always corruption, but it seems to me that maybe in the past there's more of a sense of we can improve things in the city, and I just kind of wonder if it's become far more pessimistic, no matter how much money we throw at stuff, which we're really good at doing. You know, we throw things against the wall and hope that something works. And I just don't know that they're really looking for solutions. You know, it kind of gets back to the thing, is it really more a matter you want to look like you're doing something? And, you know, you're really not so concerned about resolving. You just want to look like you're trying, you know, to be sincere and be a good person. And unfortunately, to resolve the problems, you may have to be a bit harsh in how you resolve it. But you may only save a lot of these people. And what I'm referring to is if you're basically saying, okay, like, you're going to go to jail or you're going to go stay in one of these facilities, which have guards and everything else, you'll get clean clothes, you'll get, you know, clean bed, and, you know, any problem is that you're going to be dealt with severely off mm-hmm. to jail. And that sounds harsh to a lot of people, but I don't really know what else you can do to take care of this problem.
Well, you know what, in a certain sense, I mean, we are extraordinarily lucky down here, yeah, that we don't have as big a problem as they're having. But, you know, by the same token, you know, we've got a situation where, for example, I was down in Miami not too long ago, and there's probably a couple hundred people living under this one bridge. I mean, it's almost like an entire community, you know, a campground. And as you'll recall, a couple of years ago, we had a guy who decided to eat one of his fellow homeless person's face for dinner while on drugs. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a problem across the country. Shouldn't be a problem in one of the world's most prosperous nations. And, you know, since the New World Order or whatever LBJ was putting forth, you know, and I don't know, what did he actually call that? I forget now. You know, it's like, you know, the
Great Society. Right?
Yeah, the Great Society. Well, the Great Society ain't doing that great right now. Needs a little shot in the arm.
The other thing I was going to just mention, Adam, is the thing that people don't hear about at all is, and you were alluding to it with the example of the guy who apparently wanted to see if the other guy's face tasted like chicken or not, was the fact that there's a lot of crime other homeless people are victims of from perpetrators who are also homeless. And so, you know, at risk, I mean, they're the most vulnerable, or from other people who are taking advantage of people who are kind of strung out or unconscious or whatever, who could be shot, who could be robbed of whatever they have. And which gets back to the thing about, don't we have an obligation to provide some kind of place to go to? We get so caught up in the idea of individual rights and everybody doing what they want that, you know, we kind of forget about all the things that arise from just favoring rights to the exclusion of responsibilities. And it becomes kind of like the end of the society that's very anarchic, you know. The rules kind of go away. Everybody do your own thing. Don't say anything bad about anybody. Don't try and coerce anybody to do something. And this is what you end up with, you know. This is sort of obvious society. Life is nasty, brutish, and short for some people. I always try to bring in a couple of historical references, Adam, to add a little panache to the.
You know what? I love that. I'm actually quite pleased with that. Life is short, brutish. Aha. Well played, Mr. Weaver. Well, you know, I hate to do this because I think this is one of these things that we could probably solve this problem in about, 10 minutes of my benevolent dictatorship. But we, sir, are at the top of our hour, and we're going to have to bid a fond adieu and pick up another subject here. Once again, it's Adam Von Romer and senior correspondent Jefferson Hayne Weaver from the Omaha Bugle Global News Networks. Where am I at? Oh, I'm at the news desk. Kind of lost it there. Jeff, thank you again, and good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.